In the days and months following the 9/11 attacks, the world's attention was transfixed on the mass murder in New York City and in Washington. But of course, as we know all too well here, the first two planes to be hijacked and flown into the Twin Towers in New York departed from Boston. So the end of the road for Osama bin Laden took many Bostonians back to the beginning. WBUR's David Boeri this morning looks back at one of the darkest days in Boston history with some who lived it fully.
It was a crystal clear May morning when many awoke to yesterday's news. A day much like that beautiful blue September morning in a world long gone, recalls James Carroll, a morning that turned black.
There was a way in which Boston was the unacknowledged other city in 9/11, because it was traumatic for us when we recognized that the crime began here. It felt like a double blow.
Carroll is a Boston Globe columnist, distinguished scholar in residence at Suffolk University, and the author of the book Jerusalem, Jerusalem. While Carroll was watching the television in horror on 9/11, so too was State Police Major Tom Foley, who couldn't believe what he was seeing. Foley, who would soon become the colonel of the state police, took charge of the criminal investigation. All of Logan Airport was his crime scene.
That was the beginning of a whole new era.
As part of that new era would come fear, suspicion, color-coded alerts, war on terror, and in Boston that day, chaos. Troopers and cops raced to secure the State House and City Hall in case they might be attacked. The sheriff of the Middlesex jail later evacuated hundreds of inmates in a massive convoy of cruisers and buses up Route 93. Phone calls jammed the cell towers and cars jammed the roads.
It was absolutely gridlock.
Remembers local firefighter John Brown.
It seemed like everybody was trying to go somewhere, I don't know where. And people were ignoring traffic lights. People were trying to get by.
Foley and the state police had never faced anything like this before.
As all these different rumors start spreading around, you're trying to find out exactly what's true and what isn't. And I think everybody was wondering, okay, what's next here?
It only took Foley and 150 detectives 2 hours to determine the names of the hijackers and to find the rental car some of them had driven down from New Hampshire. But the state police, the cops, and the feds were robbed of the suspects, who'd incinerated themselves. Author James Carroll.
As you point out, it was a crime of absence. And yet those of us who are Bostonians have never forgotten where those planes began.
But in the darkest moments early on, a feeling of solidarity and shared community stood in counterpoint to fear and chaos. One lasting image is Greater Boston's firefighters and John Brown's stress management team streaming to the rubble of the Twin Towers. At the time, Massachusetts was still reeling from the death of 6 Worcester firefighters in December 1999. There was a special bond with New York.
They knew that we understood large losses, nowhere near the losses in New York City.
One of those people they were going down to help was Jerry DeWan, a 35-year-old Boston native who worked for the NYFD.
He was due to work at 9 o'clock that morning.
His brother Frank, a retired cop in Boston, was watching the same horror on television when he got a phone call. One of the family wanted to know what time Jerry started his shift for Ladder 3.
And, I sat there and I saw the second plane hit.
Jerry DeWan was in Tower 1, a marathon runner. He'd climbed 65 stories up and was halfway down, carrying severely burned and injured people.
Then they heard Mayday and the place collapsed. I had silent hopes that he'd be found in one of the crevices or holes they had there, but down deep you knew he was gone.
Frank DeWan's silent hopes were the same as the hopes of John Brown and the firefighters from Boston.
They worked very, very hard. They worked around the clock when they went in. Everybody gave 150% of their time, but it seemed to no avail.
Their frustration and grief were so great the Boston firefighters themselves would need counseling. Tom Foley and the state police had treated Logan Airport as a crime scene. And by logic, though the hijackers were dead and gone, going after bin Laden, who was the criminal boss, was police work. But soon enough, the mass murder was no longer defined as a crime, but as an act of war and the Bush administration launched its global war against terror, against Iraq and against Afghanistan. Yesterday, 10 years later, retired Boston cop Frank Dewan put on a hat for FDNY Ladder 3.
I was basically thrilled with the thought that we had finally got him.
He also wore the 2001 jersey memorializing his brother Jerry and 11 others who died that day.
Doesn't bring my brother back. On the other hand, it gives a message that anybody that's out there that wants to take on the United States better think twice about it. We're going to hunt them down, no matter how long it takes, and we're going to kill them.
Tom Foley, now the retired police colonel, says he's thrilled by the outcome. As for firefighter John Brown, he says it's bittersweet.
There is some closure, but I also have to say there is some pessimism that you look around the corner and you wonder what's next.
From others and across the country came elation at the news of bin Laden's death. Not from James Carroll, who said the war had been unnecessary.
Having said that, there's a tremendous need we all have had for the completion of an unfinished process of justice. We have all felt a tremendous unfinished character of this crime that was committed against us as a people and against the civilized world on 9/11. So there's a proper sense of relief.
In Boston, like the rest of the country, 10 years later, the chaos of that day is over, but the fear it brought has changed our world. Our response to terror, even at the death of Osama bin Laden, still divides us. For WBUR, I'm David Boeri.